Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season continues at MyBookie, and now they're offering a free $20 bet with the promo code SGP20. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP20 to get a free $20 bet with your first deposit. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for instant deposit matches up to $50. That's ThriveFantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. And we're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
Football fans. It's time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reed.
Well, welcome in, everybody, in these crazy times right now with COVID-19, the pandemic, and trying to get sports played completed, and obviously as it pertains to the two biggest ones, college and pro football. We are all about it here as part of the only digital radio show that devotes itself mostly, if not exclusively, when it comes to predictions, to underdogs against the spread. The little guy, the guy not being given as much of a chance, not being believed in. That's what we do here on the program. All right. So a few things to cover here at the top of the show. First of all, if you have not subscribed already, why not? Whether you found us through a social media link, through our friends at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and their network of shows, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and it comes automatically to you through Three Dog Thursday. So again, hit the subscribe button, rate us and review us, and more people will be able to find us. Numerous ones of you have been doing that. Continue doing that. Give us a 5-star rating and review. More will see us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. So subscribe to the show to find us. Coming up, YouTube Roundtable. We'll have a couple of special guests. Find us on YouTube via Three Dog Thursday. Just search Three Dog Thursday. The channel comes right up. You'll see the YouTube show with the video of what you're actually hearing on the podcast of that segment. So again, it's a simulcast. You're hearing us on the podcast, but see us as well for the roundtable on the YouTube page of Three Dog Thursday. So with all of that out of the way, let me tell you who we've got coming up. He is a staple. He is our senior handicapper from BrianEdwardsSports.com, also MajorWager.com and Vegas Insider. Brian Edwards is back. And look, I will say this with him as well. We need to be better with the underdog predictions. We did not get as many as we would have liked last week, although thank you for the Cleveland Browns for me. Edwards has got to stop with the love affair of Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, by the way. We'll talk more with him about that in our NFL segment a little bit later on. But Brian's ready to talk some college football here coming up. All right, so let me say this at the outset. This is obviously fluid. There's obviously breaking news. I do this show, I record this show with the different guests in pieces and in parts on Wednesday. Again, I pull the curtain back from time to time and tell you about this. So throughout Wednesday, we've been putting the show together for Three Dog Thursday so that it can debut on Thursday morning, middle of the night, actually, Thursday and Thursday morning. Again, if you get the automatic notification, you can listen to it whenever in the middle of the night or early morning on Thursdays through Three Dog Thursday subscribers on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, etc. So I have been putting the show together, doing the different interviews with Brian and with our roundtable guests that I'll talk about in a second. But understand that when I was doing the interviews with them, at the time that we were talking, we did not know of the Florida LSU game being postponed. I now know that that game is postponed. They're not going to be playing it this weekend. We don't talk a lot about it throughout the show, but now just know that I know that, you know that as the audience, and again, if you're listening later on in the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, etc., you obviously know what the latest is with rescheduling that, etc., as the Gators have some 29 players that are unable to practice, either positive with coronavirus or at least in contact with those that have COVID-19. And so they had to isolate anyway to make sure that they don't have it. So Florida's not able to practice. Huge game for them with LSU. The Bayou Bengals really struggling. So in any event, they're not playing. You may hear a reference to that. In fact, you will when Brian and I talk about that. But I'm just letting you know on the front end, that game is now canceled. The bigger news on Wednesday early evening is that Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, the multi-time national champion head coach at Alabama and also LSU, has tested positive for coronavirus and immediately had to go into self-quarantine Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday night, no longer around his team. Now, what does this mean for the Alabama humongous, huge, enormous, ginormous showdown with Georgia? That's number two Alabama, number three Georgia, slated to play Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. Again, as we're putting the show together on Wednesday night, this is the best I can do for you. The game is still on. Alabama held practice Wednesday with offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian running the practice, and he will be the interim coach, provided that there's no big outbreak of players infected, coaches infected, and there's obviously protocols in place and guidelines in place trying to limit that. But it may just be, you know, it may be isolated. It may be like the Florida situation where they're not able to play if they have an outbreak on Thursday tests, Friday tests, etc. So it's a fluid deal. We will wait to see if they can play the game. Again, I have a vested interest in being there to be with Tiki Barber on national radio coverage. You'll hear me talking about this with Brian and also with our roundtable guests, Ryan Fowler and Marquise Johns. Tiki Barber and I to be there for Compass Media Networks Saturday night, radio call of the game. That's provided that they play in this one. And so we will take it almost day by day here. Let's see what Thursday brings. Let's see what Friday brings. And hopefully Alabama was able to contain things. As a point of reference, when Florida State coach Mike Norvell tested positive for COVID-19, his team did not suffer an outbreak. Well, I guess much to their chagrin, they still had to go ahead and play the Miami Hurricanes and got crushed back a couple of weeks ago. So that's just a reference point that just because the coach and these teams have been practicing social distancing, wearing the mask, the guidelines during practice around each other, meeting room, film room, practice field, that kind of stuff, hopefully it's contained for Alabama's sake. And we'll wait and see what happens for the game with Georgia. Again, a monstrous, one of the games of the year in college football, one of the top games in the Southeastern Conference. Let's see what happens for Alabama and Georgia as we go along. All right, so with all of that out of the way, let's get to the conversation about college football and then eventually with Brian about the NFL. The roundtable in the middle talks more Alabama with Ryan Fowler from the FM sports station all over the state of Alabama, Tide 100.9 FM. Ryan is a five-day-a-week afternoon host on that station. He'll give you great insight into the game. Again, at the time that we talked with Ryan and with Marquise Johns, the other guest on the roundtable, the Nick Saban news was not out yet. So again, whether you're hearing it, whether you see us on the YouTube page, via Three Dog Thursday's YouTube page, just know that that was done in advance. Just the necessity of the show. Can't do everything in real time at night, middle of the night, or on Thursday with the evolving and changing news. So Ryan will have a great breakdown of Alabama, Georgia. Marquise Johns here to talk some boxing. We have a huge world lightweight title fight between the world championship fight, Vasily Lomachenko, who has two of the lightweight belts, unbeaten Teofimo Lopez out of New York, fighting Lomachenko, the Ukrainian, Saturday night, ESPN lightweight title showdown. You'll hear Marquise talking about it. You'll see us on the YouTube page showing you a little bit of preview of those guys. This is going to be a highly entertaining fight. Marquise all over it from the BigFightWeekend.com website and the Big Fight Weekend podcast that I host with him. So again, a little boxing, and then we'll also get into a little baseball. Again, in taping this show, I'm wearing a Tampa Bay Rays hat. You'll see it on the YouTube roundtable. I'm in hopes that my Rays, as I live here in the Tampa St. Pete Clearwater area, West Central Florida, that the Rays will go ahead and finish off the Houston Astros and advance to the World Series for the second time in team history. We look forward to seeing if that will happen on Wednesday. It may not. It's a best of seven. They'll play again Thursday. If necessary, they'll play again Friday. They'll play Saturday. They'll play all the way through seven games if need be until the Rays or the Astros can win four. Right now, the Rays can put the hammer on the Astros and end the series tonight. So we'll talk a little baseball, Marquise and I and Ryan on the round table as well, and make a couple of underdog predictions. I can tell you up front, Ryan, not in the Alabama-Georgia game where Georgia is the underdog, but he likes another SEC underdog. And Marquise is a big Detroit guy, born and bred in Detroit. His Lions are favored with the Jaguars. How is this possible that Detroit is favored against anybody? So Marquise will have some thoughts on that. And then in the final segment of the show, Brian is back and we'll make some underdog predictions on the slate. That includes my Buccaneers. I'm part of the Buccaneers radio broadcast with the Hall of Famer Gene Deckerhoff and Dave Moore. Buccaneers radio, we're looking forward to Bucks and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers coming to Tampa. That's a huge game. No Dak Prescott for the Cowboys. They're the Monday night game with the Cardinals. What will happen in that one? Fascinating to watch all of this unfold. Steelers have never been 4-0. How about that? Pittsburgh Steelers, even in those Super Bowl years, never went 4-0 in any of them. They're 4-0 right now, going into play with the Cleveland Browns this weekend. Atlanta Falcons, a new coach. Former Buccaneer coach Raheem Morris takes over as the interim coach after Dan Quinn was fired. So Atlanta on the road here at Minnesota as an underdog. Do we dare in the final segment take the Falcons as a pooch, as a doggy? We'll talk all about it. We'll make underdog predictions and much more. All right, let's get to it. Brian Edwards is up first talking college football. Roundtable show in the middle. We'll close with Brian and NFL at the end. Let's get it all underway. Month of Locktober does roll on. We promise, we pledge, we'll be better with some underdogs this week. It has been a crazy first few weeks of the college football season, either on the field or with positive COVID tests, postponing, delaying, rescheduling games. We're sifting through all of it. We're going to cover all of it, and we're saying hello to our senior handicapper from BrianEdwardsSports.com as well as Vegas Insider. Here he is, Brian Edwards, back on Three Dog Thursday talking underdogs and much more with college football and the NFL. Good to have you again this week. We're ready to go again.
What's going on, TJ? Yeah, wild week. My Gators lose the heartbreaker. Florida and Alabama have defensive issues, and I don't know if two SEC head coaches that have 1-2 records have ever done a better job than Sam Pittman and Mr. Lane Kiffin, and some vintage Jordan hair good fortune this past Saturday evening on the plains.
I thought you were going to say just blind officiating or home cooking or whatever. Amazing that, again, they got away with the spiking of the ball backwards, which should have been a backwards pass and enabled them to kick the field goal to beat Arkansas, or else Arkansas would have pulled back-to-back upsets because that would have been game over. They clearly recovered the ball, and that would have been, despite the SEC trying to CYA that they couldn't tell if there was a clear recovery and a whistle blow. It was a clear recovery. Arkansas is on the ball when he threw it backwards. Should have been game over. Instead, Auburn allowed to kick the field goal. What a wild Saturday. You mentioned the Texas A&M comeback to beat Florida. How about Missouri in the rescheduled Hurricane Delta game? Instead of in Baton Rouge, they played it in Columbia. And Eli Drinkwitz's team puts 40-plus more on Ed Orgeron and Bo Pelini's defense and beats LSU. And then you had the track meet where the ball was like the baton for Alabama and Ole Miss. What in the name of hunker down SEC defense was going on? And are we gonna believe that this is going to go on some more as the season unfolds where we're seeing scores in the 40s or the 50s?
I think that Ole Miss, it's dead last in just about every national defensive category among the 76 FBS teams that are playing as we speak. And they have clearly proven that they can score on anybody, because Alabama, Kentucky, and Florida, at least on paper, what they were returning were supposed to be really good defenses this year. But Lane has had those defensive coordinators a number, if you will, and then some.
Yeah, well, they are an equal opportunity team at keeping both teams in the game, scoring and then giving up points. And to your point, I mean, Kentucky, a week after Ole Miss lit them up, held Mississippi State to 2 points. And just a quick comment from you that now we've seen back-to-back games where Leach's offense gets stuffed in a garbage can and the lid gets sealed up. The loss to Arkansas, they only scored 14 points, just 2 points with KJ Costello going to the bench. 2 weeks after a 600-yard game, he goes to the bench, and they only scored 2 points last week. Did the SEC defenses catch up to the mad scientist a little bit here, Brian?
A little bit, but let's not, or at least I won't portray it as if his riddle has been SEC solved. In fact, I'm not going to take Mississippi State this week because KJ is just playing awful. He has thrown a pick six in every game, and it was only 2 yards short of a fourth pick six because a guy ran out of gas on like a 76-yard INT return. But I think that kind of makes Mississippi State a little dangerous with A&M and what I would say is a little bit of a natural flat scenario in Starkville. But that's a pass for me. But I don't know. If there were to be line movement north of 7, I might consider Mississippi State. But, yeah, KJ's been awful. It's
amazing.
He was so good. The other guy was pretty bad.
He was so good against LSU, but part of what people are saying is if you drop 7 or 8 in zone coverage, you create problems for Mike Leach's offense. And Mark Stoops at Kentucky obviously lived by that with what they were able to do. So we're talking a lot of SEC. We do have Clemson, who was very impressive. Brian, give me 15 seconds. They walloped Miami. I stayed away from the Canes against Godzilla. I know a couple of our guests later in the podcast liked them. Your thought on what Clemson did to Miami and what it means moving forward, really for both, but particularly for Clemson.
It was domination, and it was not as close as the final score indicated. If you're locked into Ole Miss, Bama, or whoever, Miami blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown right before halftime for a 10-point swing. It was a blowout start to finish.
Yes, it was, and they ran the ball well, and Trevor Lawrence even got fired up because he got cheap shotted earlier in the game and potentially injured. And then scored a touchdown and spiked the ball and got a 15-yard penalty. I like seeing some of that. So we've already seen some very interesting games unfold. What a great Red River rivalry game with Oklahoma and Texas. The Sooners pulling it out in double overtime. I mean, that was like a four-chapter drama, wasn't it? And the game went for nearly 5 hours at the Cotton Bowl. The longest game ever played between Oklahoma and Texas in their rivalry into three overtimes before the Sooners eventually pulled it out and kept their Big 12 hopes alive. And as more than one person has pointed out, ever since Sam Ehlinger declared Texas back, winning that Sugar Bowl against Georgia, they are now just 10-7 since that Sugar Bowl back a year and a half ago, two Sugar Bowls ago. Very interesting. I mean, they've been owned by Oklahoma recently in the series too.
Yeah, you know, that game, it was a thriller, but it was pissing me off. I was ready to get to the Georgia-Tennessee game, and I had a K-State bet, and I had a Boston College bet against Pitt. I wanted to start watching those three games, but I couldn't take my eyes off the Red River.
And how about Oklahoma had the line covered and gave up 14 late points to get it tied into overtime. Texas has the lead in overtime to take care of everybody that had Texas, and Oklahoma ends up winning and covering in the end. I mean, you talk about a spread roller coaster, the Red River rivalry.
What about the underbackers? Yeah. What about the underbackers? Under 72, they got hosed when it went extra sessions. So I wasn't on that under, but those underbackers.
Lots of points. One thing we've seen already, both college and the NFL, lots of scoring, lots of points here in this crazy 2020 year. All right, so that kind of sets the table for this weekend. Obviously, the Titanic Alabama-Georgia game. We're going to talk more on the YouTube roundtable coming up, as I've been mentioning. Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa in Alabama, weekday host on Tide 100.9 FM. We'll have a lot on this game, but I got to let my man Brian Edwards of BrianEdwardsSports.com and Vegas Insider give me a few words, give me a few thoughts on what you think might or might not happen with Alabama-Georgia in Tuscaloosa Saturday night, sir.
Well, I wrote down on Sunday morning, 62-63 for the total. I saw 55 Sunday. I wasn't able to get it. It wasn't available for me until 57. But I like it over. Alabama's defense looked awful last week, but Najee Harris looked great. Mac Jones looks great. Now, I know it's a three-game sample size, but it looks like Georgia might have the best defense in America, but Alabama has got one of the top two or three offenses in America, and Alabama's defense can be had. So I like it over. I got Alabama Sunday night. One of my accounts had 4.5. I bought it to 4. And so I still lean Bama at seven or fewer, but at six and a half, I don't know. I like the over better.
Obviously, it's going to be one of the games of the year for sure, Brian, and I got to stay away from it because Tiki Barber and I will be broadcasting it on National Compass Media Networks Radio all over the country. We're live from Tuscaloosa Saturday night at 8 Eastern Time, pregame show at 7:30, promo. So Tiki and I will be there, so I got to stay away with a straight prediction on the game. I did think it was interesting, as you mentioned, the line opening, and I saw you tweeting this Sunday night because I had a rare Sunday off with the Buccaneers. You were tweeting right away that when the line came out, it may have been 4.5 or 5. It shot right up to like 6 or 6.5 with everybody betting Alabama. Fascinating point there, right? That the early money for sure moved that line up, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't have the stat in front of me, but Alabama, when they've been favored by 7 or fewer recently, they've been awful, which is kind of surprising. But it entails the Clemson games. It entails the LSU game last year, maybe a few of those Ole Miss games back in the Freeze era. But it's rare that you get them as a single-digit favorite, but they have not been successful at that. And another stat on Alabama, I got to give a hat tip to the Bear, Chris Falica. They are dead last in America in three-and-out percentage. They have only gotten three and outs on 34 possessions from their opponents, 8.8%.
This is not the Alabama defense that we're used to with all those players that have gone on to the NFL. We'll see if they can get it together with Georgia on Saturday. More on that game coming up. All right, so that leads us, Brian, into some underdog thoughts for this weekend. I believe you want to begin with an ACC game for this week as an underdog prediction. What do you like?
Yeah, indeed. Boston College, they hooked me up last week. They had been 8-0-1 against the spread in 9 previous home dog spots. I got a little sprinkle of the money line. They went outright against Pitt. So now they are a 12-point road underdog at Virginia Tech. And in its last 24 as a road underdog, going back to the 2016 regular season finale, Boston College is, that is for 18-5-1 against the spread. That's an underdog of any scenario, regardless home, away, or neutral. The stat for road underdog goes back to 2014, and it's 15-4-1 against the spread. So either way you slice it, Boston College has been a heavy moneymaker as an underdog in recent years. They've also beaten Virginia Tech in back-to-back seasons, and BC's 11th in the nation in takeaways. They're plus 4 in turnover margin. They're 16th in scoring D, only giving up 20.8 points per game. And Phil Jurkiewicz, the Notre Dame transfer, 65.1 completion percentage, 1,181 passing yards, 8-2 TDINT ratio. He's got one of the best tight ends in America, and Hunter Long, and BC will give Votek fit. It'll be a close game. I won't call it the outright upset, but BC covers as double-digit dog.
Getting 12 or 12.5, depending on where you look at it. And I was on Boston College on this Three Dog Thursday show against Sam Howell in North Carolina at home as a doggie and got the cover as they kept it a one-score game the entire time, actually had a chance to tie the game in the waning moments. And Virginia Tech got lit up. Speaking of Sam Howell in Carolina, gave up 56 points last week. Granted, this is at home. Very interesting game. Primetime game. ACC Network has it for Boston College and Virginia Tech on Saturday night. I am going to go a little earlier in the day, and I was torn. American Conference action here, the AAC, the league, obviously, with my alma mater, Memphis, UCF, Houston, SMU, on and on. A couple of very interesting home doggies, the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. I know you've been very big on Cincinnati as the top group of five teams. Cincinnati currently ranked in the top 25. Luke Fickell's team traveling to Tulsa, where the Golden Hurricane already have a shocker. They won at UCF a couple of weeks ago. So now they get ready to play this one, and I get points at home with an excellent Tulsa defense. That had, 3 or 4 interceptions against Dylan Gabriel of UCF. Something just, do you want to warn me off here? I know Cincinnati's your team. You've been saying that all off season, but something says to me that Tulsa may win this game, a noon early start as a 3-point home underdog against the Bearcats. Brian, I like the Golden Hurricane here.
Well, Tulsa has been one of the more surprising teams in the country. I mean, they lose 16-7 at Oklahoma State, but if you watch that game, that was a very winnable game for them. Yep. They could have They had several trips deep into Cowboy territory where they got nothing. They got stopped on downs. I think they missed a field goal, too. And I mean, you know, anytime you hold Mike Gundy's offense to 16 points and you hold UCF to 26, they got a salty D. So does Cincy. I'm not going to talk you off of it, but I like both teams really just in general.
Interesting that neither team played last week. They were a scheduled off week. Again, the American began playing at the beginning of September and has bye weeks built in. And if they needed to have COVID makeup games, et cetera, they were doing that as well. So Cincinnati at Tulsa at noon. I did stay away. You got to be proud of me, Brian Edwards, in our college segment on Three Dog Thursday. I did stay away from the alma mater. Go Tigers, go. Brady White and Memphis against Dylan Gabriel and UCF. UCF obviously has made Memphis, has tortured them with a bunch of wins, including two championship game wins in the American Conference on their home field in Orlando. This game at Memphis, at the Liberty Bowl, the Tigers have actually been off for a couple of weeks, the scheduled bye week and also a COVID cancellation. UCF was also off. Let me double check this. UCF was also off last week as well after the loss to Tulsa. So both teams off of byes. Memphis has been off actually for 3 weeks. This is first game in 3 weeks for them. I stayed away from that game, but keep an eye here on the Tigers maybe at home being able to pull the upset. Part of that is me as a Memphis Tiger guy wanting it to happen, Brian. I can see that. And UCF is explosive on offense. We know that, but this will be an interesting American Conference game as well on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they certainly want to avenge that loss 2 years ago when they were up, 30-14 and then didn't score a point in the second half. That was I was in Biloxi for that one. I couldn't believe UCF came back and won that game.
Well, and that was the one where Josh Heupel went for it right on fourth down deep in his own territory. And got it, and they rolled on to win. And then later in the year in the championship game, Memphis was up 21 in the championship game and allowed UCF to come roaring back and beat them. We got nothing. I'm getting like PTSD now from talking about this. We got nothing but bad memories, Memphis playing UCF.
And they didn't play last year, right?
Correct. That's correct. So yeah. some bad taste
Double
in the mouth.
Spot.
And let's see if it is a revenge spot for Memphis, but I will stay away for Three Dog Thursday purposes from that one. And before we go in the college segment here, we don't know at the time that we're taping. I know you're a big Gator. I live here in Florida, as do you. We are wondering, you already know this answer as to whether they're playing or not playing, but at the time that Brian and I are taping, there are some 19 or more Gator players that are positive for COVID-19. There are 10 more, if I have this right, Brian, that are quarantined because they were around those different players. I don't know how they play this game. I know they may try to play this game on Sunday, which the SEC has done before because of hurricanes. But other than that, I don't know how you can play this game because you can't be sure that Florida doesn't have more COVID outbreak until you test on Thursday, for example, and maybe even on Friday for them to be able to practice and to unpause this. Brian, what are your thoughts? Because the Florida-LSU game may be delayed off of this week altogether. We don't know that right now, but what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that I don't think that the Gators want to play with that many potential absences, but then I heard Coach O say this morning that Miles Brennan probably isn't playing. He is doubtful with a shoulder injury. They don't have anybody. I don't even know if they've had anybody that's ever taken a snap behind him and ever. So, but we don't know. Is it Trask? Is it Kadarius Toney? Is it Kyle Pitts? I mean, who are the guys that have it? I would just assume them go ahead and move it back to December 12th.
And it may be that they do that, and you make a great point. Florida is not under an obligation to say which players that are positive until they're ready to play a game, and then they would obviously announce, okay, these players are not playing, and then they could say why or say why not. As long as there's not a game being played, we may never know who the specific players are right now. I just don't know that they're even going to be able to try to play it here over the next day or two. Again, the audience may know that, but Brian, it would shock me if they are playing the game Saturday afternoon or even Sunday in Gainesville, Florida, LSU.
And another thing on it, if Trask is one of the guys, Emory Jones hasn't dressed out the last 2 weeks with a foot injury, so the Gators would be starting a true freshman at quarterback as well, along with LSU.
And there he goes. My thanks again to Brian for hanging out, talking college football. He's back later to talk NFL. Again, bear in mind, at the time that I taped there with Brian, we did not have official confirmation on the Florida Gator game being canceled. It now is. They hope to play that game later in the year on December the 12th, kind of the built-in buffer week that the SEC has at the end of the schedule before the championship game the next weekend. We'll wait to see on that. And again, Brian and I did not know about Nick Saban's positive coronavirus test when we were taping that interview earlier on Wednesday. So Saban not going to coach no matter what. We hope the Alabama-Georgia game still gets played. Alabama, by the way, still favored, but the line has now come down a couple of points from 6 to 4 points in most of the sports books already on Wednesday, and may get bet down further with Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator, allegedly going to be the interim coach here in this game. They got to have somebody step in, and Sarkisian's been the former USC coach, the former Washington Huskies head coach. So he will apparently step in as this unfolds. Again, a fluid situation for Thursday. Do they have an outbreak for Alabama, or have they contained it? It's worth repeating again what I said in the opening segment. When Mike Norvell, the Florida State coach, tested positive, his players did not get it. They played the game with Miami. Now, I know Les Miles also tested positive, the Kansas coach for last week. They don't have an outbreak. They're due right now. They haven't played. They're due to play West Virginia, and they haven't had a player outbreak either. So there's just a couple of reference points. If you're practicing the social distancing, the safety, the guidelines, that you can contain this, let's hope that it is with Alabama. So we've got our roundtable segment coming up with Ryan Fowler and also Marquise Johns talking more about the Alabama-Georgia game. Again, at the time that we taped that roundtable, they did not know, we did not know about Nick Saban's positive COVID test, but you'll hear us talking about the games, the X's and O's. Marquise will talk some boxing with the Lomachenko-Lopez world lightweight title fight coming Saturday night, some baseball, and some NFL underdog talk as well coming on the roundtable as we roll along. But first, let's talk more about our friends at MyBookie.ag. Winning season is here, and that means the NFL is in full swing, and it's your chance to win big, and there's no sweeter feeling than watching your team come roaring back to win in a game that puts cash in your pocket. So whether you're a first-time player, a veteran of the game, you're taking the underdogs like on this show, siding with the favorites, there won't be a better time to get in the action than right now with MyBookie and our promo code SGP20, because you use that promo code and you get a free $20 wager right now with your first deposit for anything in their sports book. That's right, MyBookie is giving you a chance to make your first ever bet with them for free on us with the promo code SGP20. Of course, the NBA playoffs have concluded. The Stanley Cup playoffs have concluded. Baseball headed to the World Series. Bet on that. Bet on college football, the NFL, even the presidential election. All of it, you can find it all at mybookie.ag. And remember, everything that you're betting on, you can enhance it with our promo code if you're a first-time bettor. Free $20 bet. Just use our promo code SGP20. So it all begins today. It's exclusively at MyBookie. Just remember, it's winning season, baby. You bet, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. And the promo code is SGP20. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy. You want to come prop up with Thrive Fantasy this season, as it's a daily fantasy sports app for player props. And with Thrive, you eliminate the countless hours of research and focus only on top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. If you're playing NFL, Thrive Fantasy, choose 10 out of the available top 20 player props and build your lineup. If you're using something like Major League Baseball or eSports or something else, use 5 of the 10 available players for that week, and each prop is assigned a fantasy value for the under or over based on how likely it is to hit it. If you hit the most props, you rack up the most points, and get a prize pool. And Thrive has paid out over $50,000 already in guaranteed weekly prizes. They've awarded over $1.6 million in cash prizes so far through Thrive. And you can use our promo code SGP when you sign up and get an instant match up to $50 on your first deposit. So if you put $10 in, then Thrive's going to give you $10 more to spend. Same thing if you put $50 in, up to $50, they'll give you $50 on the initial match with our promo code SGP. Again, check out all of these player props, a couple of the ones that stand out to me. Again, there's only 20 of them to choose for, but one of the ones that I was liking a lot, Phillip Rivers in the Indianapolis game with Cincinnati, is 1.5 is the under and over on touchdown passes. I like the over in that one for them to bounce back and bash the Bengals, who are bad. Give me Phillip Rivers over 1.5 on the TD passes for games this weekend. And I liked another one, Daryl Henderson, my Memphis Tiger, the running back of the LA Rams, playing that Sunday night game at San Francisco. He's got a half point on the under over on touchdown scored. It can be either a rushing touchdown or receiving touchdown. I'm playing the over. I think he's going to get one. He got one last week against Washington, the Washington football team. Daryl Henderson, running back, Rams. Give me the under over. Give me the over total on that one. And how about Mike Evans, my Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver? Very intriguing. 5.5 is the under over total against the Packers on his receptions. The Bucs' top receiver has had some games where he's basically only had one catch or two catches. Had a five-catch game the other night against the Bears. 5.5 may be right at the number. I might go under on the catches for Mike Evans. We'll see for this week. He's been very productive with touchdowns, though. 6 of them on the year for Mike Evans in the Packers game. Again, this is what you do on Thrive Fantasy. Go to Thrive Fantasy, sign up for free, go into the props lobby, and pick out 10 of these under-overs that you like to get into the contest for thousands and thousands of dollars. And again, your initial sign-up will be matched by our friends at Thrive Fantasy. SGP is the promo code. They'll match you up to $50 on your first deposit. So download the Thrive Fantasy app right now in the App Store or the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. Visit their website for more information, rules, etc., thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today with Thrive Fantasy. And don't forget, promo code SGP. It's Thrive Fantasy, and the promo code is SGP. And if you've ever thought of owning your own sports book but you didn't know how, Ace Per Head is here to help you start it up. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated up to the second and wagers graded immediately. They've got top-notch customer service going 24/7, some of the sharpest lines in the industry, and plus, Ace Per Head also has live betting and a great mobile experience. You can get started today. Ace is offering 6 weeks free, by the way. Go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP to find out more.
The dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
We do continue along, and it is our Zoom broadcast here as part of YouTube and the Three Dog Thursday Roundtable. Look at the smiling faces, and we got so much to talk about here as part of the podcast. It's Alabama and Georgia, and that means my man Ryan Fowler from Tide 100.9 FM, their weekday host, is with us. Good to have you, sir. Little bitty football game going on, Alabama-Georgia Saturday night. Good to have you.
Hey, number 2 against number 3. It's Alabama-Georgia. You know, when the schedule was released, I mean, we go back years. When the schedule was released initially, you know, it was September, but then we all kind of pulled for the new schedule of 10 games of where this game would be, and this is the most important schedule, the game on the schedule for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So when you kind of step back and you look at it, you begin to look at this game, it's Kirby Smart versus Nick Saban. It's all, I mean, this is what college football is all about, my friend.
And you know, it must be big time if TJ's showing up with Tiki Barber to do the game nationally on Compass Media all over the country on radio. I don't know if it's big time if I show up, but it's a national broadcast, and obviously CBS will show it all over the country as well. So we're looking forward to talking more about that, obviously. Ryan's so fired up, he's going into the breakdown during the welcome and the intro. He can't wait. He can't get enough of this.
I mean, this is great. This is great college football.
I know. Marquise Johns is also here, and Marquise is my wingman on the Big Fight Weekend website. Huge sports fan. Marquise, good to have you because, again, we have an impactful, huge World Lightweight Championship fight in Las Vegas Saturday night. So it's great to get you on because you're going to talk everything and a little boxing. Good to have you, sir.
Absolutely, TJ. No, this is a big-time thing for ESPN this weekend with boxing. They put a lot of promotion and a lot of time, effort, and money into this fight, and it's a good one. It's an undisputed lightweight championship between Teofimo Lopez versus Vasily Lomachenko.
Yep, so we're going to have fun talking about that in a couple of moments. All right, so we'll get to that in a second. Back to what Ryan was bringing up first, and I'll share the screen here. It is obviously about to be here. It is Alabama and Georgia, and my goodness, what in the name of run the football was going on there the other night. Najee Harris, I lost track at like 200 something yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. That game, Ryan Fowler, was like arena football with Ole Miss. Whoever has it last is going to win. It was what, the highest scoring regulation game in SEC history. But this guy that we're watching on the screen right now, Najee Harris, was tremendous running the ball. Give me a little analysis on that game, and how does it tie into the Georgia game, Ryan Fowler?
Well, let me say this. When you look at this Alabama-Georgia game, we've got to go back to Alabama-Ole Miss because I think Lane Kiffin exposed, you know, a lot of weaknesses for this Alabama defense. When you back up and you take a look at the way Alabama tackled in that game, it was not good. I mean, they had
– didn't tackle. Maybe.
Yeah, did not tackle. I mean, the way that they attempt to tackle would be the – but Lane Kiffin exposed them. Lane Kiffin exposed, you know, Alabama's defensive side of the football. And you would expect that the blueprint – I'm not saying that Georgia can do what Ole Miss was able to do, but when you back up a couple of minutes and you look at it, they're going to do some things. They're going to be able to do some things that maybe Lane Kiffin kind of gave them the recipe – but Alabama's offense was just as good, but Alabama's defense was just as bad. And I think that's the story of walking out of there. We do a score prediction contest in Tuscaloosa every week. We probably take 60 calls, and that was yesterday. I had more people that picked Georgia to beat Alabama, and we're talking about Alabama fans.
Interesting.
I had more people that took Georgia to beat Alabama on our score prediction contest than I've ever had. That picked
just because
team.
Of what they saw with the defense. And
I
it
think
scared
so.
The other
yeah.
night.
Yeah, because it reminds you. You know, defense is not as. You know, I've debated the question: elite offense or elite defense? What would you take in current college football? And I think everybody sees the trend. You know, Santa Clara, California against Clemson, the defense showed up. You know, we look back at the game there in Tampa, 2016, 100 plays. They couldn't get Clemson off the field, lost the championship. It's just been a cycle of the direction, the trend for Nick Saban has been that the defense is not getting any better under Pete Golding.
All right, and it's interesting that Charlie Strong, and Marquise knows this name because he was in Tampa with USF after being fired at Texas, was at USF for 3 years. He's there as the consultant, the observer. He's a defensive mind. How much input does he have? Stay tuned on that for that huge college football showdown that is coming up on Saturday. Let's bring Marquise back in and talk a little boxing. I'm going to share the screen again. This is Saturday night. ESPN has Teofimo Lopez from New York, the unbeaten IBF lightweight champion, Teofimo, going against Vasily Lomachenko, Ukrainian unified lightweight champion who's got two of the belts. One of the best fights remaining in 2020 is coming up. The guy that we're watching, savage opponents here on the screen, Teofimo Lopez, and the backflips, by the way, wearing the Joe Burrow jersey. Ryan doesn't approve of that from the Heisman Trophy last year. Because he fought right after the Heisman Trophy ceremony. He fought then. All right, so Marquise, we're taking a look at Teofimo Lopez. He's taking on Lomachenko, who is a slick, hard-punching veteran fighter. What do you make of this, sir, here? Saturday night, ESPN will show it, not on pay-per-view. Great fight. Tell me more, Marquise.
Absolutely, TJ. One of the best fights that Top Rank has made in a long time, and it's on pretty much over-the-air ESPN television, which is also impressive on their end because they don't put – more often than these things are behind paywalls and pay-per-view, and they were always talking about – they were talking about doing it before the pandemic started. ESPN decided to chip in put it over the air free television. They put a lot of promotion in the documentaries of it. They put out a two-part series of Blood, Sweat, and Tears chronicling Lomachenko's parents and Teofimo Lopez's dad and how they trained leading up to this fight. It's a great fight that's going to be in the ring, TJ, because what will happen in this is this will pretty much determine the undisputed champion at 135 pounds. I know Lomachenko's the franchise champion, whatever that means in English, but at the end of the day, even Marco Solomon said that this is for the undisputed championship. No disrespect to Devin Haney, despite being disrespected, but that's what this is all for. And what will change from here, TJ, as you well know, is that there's not going to be a rematch clause in this fight. So this is pretty much winner take all at 135. And we'll see how this goes from there. There was rumors that Lomachenko was talking about moving back down in weight after this fight. When I spoke to him on the media Zoom call beforehand, he mentioned that he'll make a business decision and choose the best fight, which is best for him, TJ, at 130 or 135, you know. A great Deion Sanders line, a business decision. So we'll see how this plays out with Lomachenko should be, who is the favorite.
Okay, so we're watching while you're talking. We're watching Lomachenko work out, and this is very similar to Ryan Fowler and my workouts whenever we hold workouts. Here, look at the eye-hand coordination on what he is doing with a weighted little bag there. Look at this, right out of Rocky Balboa with the push-ups, with the weights. Lomachenko is no joke. He is the veteran. He is the more experienced of the two. Look at this. And then catches himself on the push-up. He is physically talented, gifted. This is going to be a very entertaining fight. I mean, we're not just selling this to sell it. It's going to be an entertaining fight, Marquise.
Absolutely, TJ. And yeah, one thing about Lomachenko and his training regimen, it is always the most strangest and like outlandish things you see over and over again. I remember like last year for the fight with Anthony Carolla, he was playing literally beach volleyball. I think it was with seals at one point, like out in the ocean. It was something ridiculous. And like, it's one of those things where it's hard to judge, like based on what he does in the outside the ring, what he's going to do in the ring. But the one thing that happens in the ring is he is known to punch and to not get hit, which is the big key for that whole fight on Saturday night.
All right. That's the voice of Marquise Johns. If you are only hearing us, I say this all the time. If you're only hearing us on the podcast, come find the YouTube roundtable, Three Dog Thursday's YouTube page, social media link, et cetera, through sportsgamblingpodcast.com and their network of shows. Find the YouTube page. You'll see Marquise Johns. You'll also see Ryan Fowler talking Alabama as well from 100.9 Tide FM in Alabama, their weekday host, as we break all of this down. So a little Tide, a little college football, a little boxing, and now you see me wearing the hat, a little baseball. Marquise, we are beaming ear to ear right now that the Rays are on the verge, the Tampa Bay Rays we're talking about, of being in the World Series. The Rays up at the time that we're taping 3-0 on the Houston Astros. It looks good, up 3-0 in the best of 7. Let's take a look here at the Rays playing a little exciting defense as well in this one from the Tuesday night game. Again, we're taping this in advance of Three Dog Thursday. Look at Kevin Kiermaier with the diving catch.
Full extension.
The gold glove center fielder, just like Marquise Johns back in the day, making the diving catch look routine in the outfield. They did this like 3 times in the game with the Astros in game 3, making the diving catch. Again, the Rays have been in the World Series only 1 time in their history, 2008. I remember it well. I was there right after my twin daughters were born 12 years ago. Lost to the Phillies. Now here's a chance in this bizarre COVID 2020 year for the Rays to be back. Marquise, a big source of pride for us right now in the Tampa Bay area. Can the Rays get to the World Series? We're about to find out.
Absolutely, TJ. I think they can, actually. What's not pictured behind me, TJ, is the broom I'm getting from your local department store from Lowe's, actually, here to greet the Houston Astros on the way out. I'm looking forward to this
sweep
one.
Sweep them.
I love it. I love it, Marquise. Good.
And you mentioned, TJ, the great game from 2008. I was there at the local establishment across the street, Ferg's, as you well know, when Akinori Imamura ran across the second base to signify the championship for AL East championships back in 08. I was there for that, for all of that.
You're right.
Chaos.
They clinched the World Series against the Red Sox in Game 7 and about blew the roof off the Trop, your place, and half the Tampa Bay area. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it, because this is the game where – I think it's going to be the season finale for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing who we face on the other side in the NL, which is intriguing because I would have thought it was going to be LA in a sweep, but apparently they have no bullpen, apparently. So we'll see how that all shakes everything down out.
Yeah, so the Braves and the Dodgers, right now at the time we're taping, the Braves lead 2-0 over the Dodgers. Ryan is like so-so on the baseball, sort of. You're regionally close to Atlanta, and the Braves always have had the South, for many decades since being on TBS cable. So we'll see what happens with the Braves, but that's a tenuous 2-0 lead. The Braves almost blew game two, by the way, on Tuesday night, and they're playing 7 straight days if necessary, both the American League and the National League. Can the Braves hang on? Will it be the Dodgers? And again, the Rays, we're just like rubber stamping that it's the Rays. The Rays would fly from San Diego to meet either the Dodgers or the Braves in Arlington, Texas, in this bizarre baseball playoff and World Series with however it works. Whoever wins the American League flying to Arlington to play the National League team. And that could be coming as soon as this weekend. If the Braves were to polish off the Dodgers, Braves-Rays could be beginning this weekend in the 2020 Bizarre World Series. So stand by for that as well. All right, it is Three Dog Thursday. We're moving along here with this. Underdogs is what we do. I am not going to go after the Georgia Bulldogs as much, Ryan, as you were saying that your fan base was a little concerned about Georgia maybe winning this game. The interesting that when the line opened Sunday, we were talking about this in the last segment before we did the roundtable, the line opened at 5 for Alabama favored by 5 and immediately shot up to like 6.5 or 7. Everybody was betting Alabama. Boom, 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 boom. So it is 6 or 6.5, depending on where you're getting it. I'm staying away. I'm broadcasting the game. It's just interesting. It's fascinating to me, Ryan, that you said that your audience is liking Georgia. I'm not saying that you got to take the Bulldogs. I'm not expecting you to. Is there another underdog that you might like that's on the list here for this weekend? Maybe an SEC underdog, something else that you like, Ryan Fowler?
Well, let's go to this Ole Miss-Arkansas game. And do you have that line right there in front of you?
I believe it was Miss? 3, something okay. Like that, 3.5. Okay. We'll double check.
So let me take two sides of this. When you look at Ole Miss, I think they exhausted everything on the field. I think they put everything into that game. And I think they'll have that crimson fade when you kind of leave it all out there as Lane Kiffin did, mentally exhausted. I mean, that was a great right. football game. But as you talked about Najee Harris a couple of minutes ago, what he was able to do. So you back up and you take that look at that Ole Miss number right there.
Yep.
I just think Arkansas, guys, this may be
at
the
home,
biggest surprise.
At home. Yes.
That Sam Pittman is a good looking coach. And see, they do it physical. Keep in mind now, Ole Miss cannot stop the rush. They give up over 7 yards per carry.
Yep.
When you talk about the defensive side of the football, Alabama was able to enhance that number a little bit. But even going into the Alabama game, they were 7.11 yards. I think Arkansas wins this game straight up.
Ooh, all right, as a home dog. And Arkansas robbed last week. Again, if we don't have time to go into all of it, but if you have not seen the play where Auburn's Bo Nix was trying to clock the ball and turned around and did it backwards, which means it's a live ball. It's a backwards pass. It's not an incomplete forward. What is the backwards spike? They don't know how to spike at Auburn. I mean, Ryan, I'm playing your song. You
no,
bash
no,
Auburn
no.
all day
Listen,
long.
Well,
they don't even
Auburn
know how to spike
the
on the plans.
Yeah, yeah. But Auburn gets so many calls from the officials. This is like a normal thing. This is like, I mean, you go back to the Alabama halftime from the previous, you know, last year down there, where they put another second back on the clock. The official looks at Nick Saban and says, there's no way they get the snap off. It takes more than this. They got the snap off. They got the kick.
The
they took
goal.
The momentum. The SEC officials, I think what it is they feel sorry for Auburn because their little brother in a big state, and they get all the calls.
I understand. That was horrible last week for Arkansas because it would have been, again, game over. They recover the fumble. There is no game-winning field goal attempt. It would have been game over. They let the call stand. They let them kick a field goal right after that, and Arkansas loses at Auburn. So Ryan is all over the Arkansas Razorbacks. Look out for them, an early game with Ole Miss out of the SEC. Marquise John, someone's Detroit Lions. I'm going to share the screen again. Is this correct off the bye week that someone's Detroit Lions, I'm looking at the college games here, and we're looking at the odds from our friends at mybookie.ag, our sponsors with the Sports Gambling Podcast and their network of lines. There it is, Marquise Johns. Do I see a minus number next to the Detroit Lions? They are favored on the road, Marquise, at Jacksonville here this weekend. It is the Jaguars, but what about that? Are you okay with the Lions being favored?
No, TJ, considering that they didn't win a road game until they beat Arizona this year, and before that, it was a year before that. You're going to continue the streak of losing on the road. I don't know how I understand, TJ, how me being the number one Lions apologist, as you know, TJ, I don't know how they're favored considering that Minshew can throw the football, which is the one thing they did against Houston. Houston has a better secondary than Detroit, so I can't figure out how that number got there. I guess they're trying to play on the strings of hopeful Lions fans trying to pound a number into the pavement, and I wouldn't touch that.
Are there any hopeful Lions fans left? I don't know. Marquise is from Detroit, and he doesn't have any hope left. You were tweeting last week that the great thing about last weekend is the Lions weren't going to lose because it was a bye week.
They were 5-point favorite underdogs against the bye week, TJ. I think I think
okay, so the Lions are part of Three Dog Thursday. Brian Edwards and I will be talking more NFL underdogs in our final segment after we're done with the YouTube roundtable. We'll see what happens with the Lions and with the Jaguars. Let me promote these guys one more time. You're seeing them on the screen again on the YouTube roundtable here, but I want to promote where you find them, where you see them. You can find Ryan Fowler right here on social media. Find him at Ryan C. Fowler on Twitter. Tide109.com is Tide FM for the station. He also, the name of the show is The Game. The Game with Ryan Fowler runs, as you see right there, 2 to 6 p.m. Central Time on Tide 100.9. Lots on the Alabama Crimson Tide with Ryan Fowler. So hopefully I did well by you promoting there. Marquise Johns, finding right here. Great handle, as we always say, on our Big Fight Weekend coverage, Weak Sauce Radio. Because when it, now he brought some strong sauce, Ryan Fowler, to the video roundtable, but he's Weak Sauce Radio on Twitter. There is his Twitter handle. Of course, he's got the Pistons hat on. Detroit apologist. BigFightWeekend.com is the website where Marquise and I hang out and talk lots of boxing. Find the Big Fight Weekend podcast if you're seeing us right here. Marquise and I host the Big Fight Weekend podcast. We'll be previewing that Lomachenko-Lopez fight for this week and this weekend. Every week we're talking fights heading into the weekend on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Subscribe right there on Apple Podcasts as you see it on the screen. Guys, did I get all the promotional stuff right? At least I hope I did. With all of this, Ryan, I look forward to this game this weekend with Alabama and Georgia, one of the games of the year in the SEC. One more thought from you before we get out of here on Bama, Georgia. Bama's won the last five in the series. Nick Saban, as we know, has never lost to one of his assistants. So some of the numbers pointing right at Alabama.
Well, and let me go back and give you guys credit, man. You guys have got me fired up for boxing. I mean, I'm a big boxing guy. And here I am, because during the season we dial so much into college football that we don't spend a lot of time talking other sports, anything. I mean, the Super Bowl could be played here and we'd be talking college football. So you guys have kind of got me a little bit fired up. But I'll take another fight analogy here. Keep in mind, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart have worked together for a long time. But let me say this. There's not good blood because of the recruiting trail. Kirby Smart has went against Nick Saban's age. He said a lot of things on that recruiting trail that has been that has been taken.
When it got back to the Godfather, he ain't happy, is what you're saying.
No. And so Nick Saban, you know, there could have been a look ahead for this Ole Miss Alabama game. They may be looking ahead to Georgia, because understanding that this game and really these two teams may meet again in the SEC championship game. That looks like the path. So, really, we're talking about a super big game. And then you could also take, well, who wins the game? And can you beat a team twice, regardless, you know, of this opponent? So, it's going to be a lot of fun. This is why we love college football, 2 against 3.
No doubt. I look forward to being there coming on Saturday. Marquise will be dialed in all over Lomachenko Lopez. Again, they can find the Big Fight Weekend podcast where we'll break that fight down even more. And again, it's not a pay-per-view. It's not on ESPN+. Everyone will see it on ESPN Saturday night as the college football is winding down. Marquise, final thought from you before we get out of here on a roundtable?
Absolutely, TJ. This fight that's happening this Saturday on ESPN, if you haven't heard about it by the time you listen to this podcast, you will have by the time it's all said and done. I assure you on ESPN's word of it.
Yeah, because they're going to promote the daylights out of it over the next 4 or 5 days heading to the weekend. And Lopez is the slight underdog. Lomachenko, again, is a Ukrainian former gold medalist, has fought much better competition. Let's see what happens. Unbeaten kid from New York with a big right hand. Should be an intriguing fight late night, Saturday night. Guys, you did great. Ryan Fowler with Tide 100.9 FM. Thank you. Marquise Johns with BigFightWeekend.com, the website and the podcast. Boys, thank you. I appreciate you hanging out with me here on the Three Dog Thursday Roundtable.
It was a pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely, DJ. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Brian Edwards joins me coming up straight ahead as the audio version of the podcast continues here for Three Dog Thursday. And we are back in once more with the senior handicapper. Find him at BrianEdwardsSports.com. Also, writings on MajorWager.com. And, of course, Vegas Insider as well, as Brian Edwards rejoins me. Time to talk a little NFL football. I do say thank you to the Cleveland Browns, who came through for me on Three Dog Thursday last week with the outright home win over Philip Rivers of the Colts. The real Philip Rivers showed up again, Brian Edwards, throwing interceptions, including a pick six in the second half of that game with the Browns. And how about the Browns? Are you ready? Have not been 4-1. Have not been 4-1, Brian. Do you know this? Have not been 4-1 since 1994.
Bernie,
No. 1994 with Bill Belichick as head coach and Nick Saban as defensive coordinator. 1994 Cleveland, the last time they were 4-1. And have now won four straight games. Interesting for the Browns, who have the Steelers in that matchup this week. Obviously, I want you to say a couple things about the Cowboys losing Dak Prescott. I know you were all over this. It's been a big topic this week. On the one-year deal, he was betting on himself, didn't take the long-term money from the Joneses, took the one-year $30 million deal. We should also be so fortunate to have these kind of options, to take a one-year $30 million deal instead of a long-term contract. And now he turns out to have a horrific right ankle injury, scrambling against the New York Giants last week. Broken ankle, dislocated ankle, gruesome injury, had the ankle surgery. He's out for the rest of the year. Brian, your thoughts on the whole situation, including where the Cowboys try to go from here?
Well, first off, Dak's a great guy, and so obviously I feel horrible for him, and that seemed to be the 100% universal sentiment. So wishing him well in his recovery. But I mean, I I'm not trying to be like, oh, I was right. But as we struggled to have content doing a weekly Three Dog Thursday pod during the pandemic, you know, we talked about this multiple times. And I thought that Dak was a fool for turning down generational wealth when I think it was 2 years ago, he got offered 30 mil per like 5 or 6 years, and then this past summer it was 35, but him and his agent wanted 40, and I thought it was a mistake then. I said it was too risky.
Yep.
And so I think he made a mistake, but
he turned down easily 70 million guaranteed on that deal that would have been coming his way. And I still believe, do you agree with me, the Joneses will take care of him. He may not end up getting, here we go, parsing millions. He may not end up getting 30, 35 million a year or whatever off this injury, but I could see the Joneses giving him still a 3 or 4 year contract and giving him 40, 50 million guaranteed, which at this point, that's got to be a win for him. I still see that happening. Sure. What is your thought?
Yeah, well, they've come out and kind of said that. Jerry and his son had pretty much said that this week. And it's easy to say this week. Let's see where they are in 6 to 9 months. But, Dak's not going to ever be living on the street. That's for sure. The Joneses will never let that happen. That's for sure.
Well, and then we'll see how Andy Dalton does, and I'll have some more thoughts on that as they get ready to play Monday Night Football against the Cardinals and try to pick up the pieces here, at least offensively. They did stick it out. I should mention that Brian Edwards was teasing, you didn't take it, that you liked the Giants with a ton of points. The more that you were diving into that game, that you really thought that would be a spot where they would hang tough. Nobody could have foreseen Dak Prescott getting injured in the first half of the game, but it turns out the Giants did hang in. They did cover. You had four successful picks, either favorites, underdogs, or with the under-over number last week, and what are you hitting now for the last 3 weeks? You're still about 65% on your NFL picks right now, correct?
I went 7-0 week 3 last week, 3-2-1 This week, 3-2 on Sunday, but I at the last minute, I played the Bears, Bucks over, lost that, and then I split last night, winning the over but losing the Bills. So 4-4 on the week, and just 7-6-1 the last 2 weeks, but that makes me, what, 14-6-1 the last three
Very nice.
Weeks. So still doing pretty good, but not that great the last 2 weeks. And I don't think it's a very good week for underdogs, K-Raj, and I find the line really fascinating with Houston at Tennessee. I know we're looking at an unprecedented short week of preparation, with a Tuesday night game, but there's no travel for the Titans. They were at home. They're at home here. They're only 3 to the Texans. I know we don't endorse favorites here, but I'll certainly say to stay away from the Texans +3.
And it is interesting because Tennessee looked tremendous. For all the controversy, Woo! Not being able to practice, I mean, they dump-trucked a good 4-0 Buffalo team, especially in the second half, pulling away. And so you're right, it's fascinating. Now, typically, teams that are playing Sunday to Thursday only have 4 days, so this is the reverse.
Right, exactly.
It's a Tuesday to Sunday. But it is fascinating that Tennessee only a 3-point favorite with the Texans, who did get a win, albeit over the Jaguars, last weekend with Romeo Crennel as the interim coach. All right, speaking of interim coaches, yeah, go ahead. Give me one more note. Go ahead.
Also, Adam, they might get Jeffrey Simmons, their best defensive tackle back, who they didn't have last night. I'm not really – no, I think Adoree Jackson's hurt, not COVID. But Corey Davis has got COVID. They're leading – a receiver only because A.J. Brown had missed a game or two. But, they may get – Titans may have more players back as well. So I just wanted to add that.
Well, yeah, and again, with the COVID situation, it is unlikely that they would have one of those guys necessarily available for this weekend. It is a maybe that would be the case. We just got to stay tuned because, again, Brian and I are taping this midweek. Who is able to practice on Thursday and Friday? Who's cleared? That we'll learn more as the week unfolds on that one. All right, so speaking of interim coach situations, Brian is a big Atlanta Falcon guy and has been taking it on the chin for the last couple of years. And finally, Arthur Blank had seen enough after another loss, this time to Carolina at home this weekend, and an 0-5 start. Blank pulls the trigger not only on Coach Dan Quinn, but Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager. And Dimitroff, the architect of playoff-caliber teams for over a decade, a Super Bowl team, they're both gone. Clean sweep. In the season, did not wait any longer, and he installed Raheem Morris, who is one of my favorites. Raheem, the former head coach of the Buccaneers, 2009, 10, and 11. Raheem, a longtime Tampa Bay assistant before that, been around him, done his coach's show. I'm rooting for him, all except for the two games in which the Falcons play the Buccaneers, which will be later on in the year. So Raheem takes over as the head coach. Atlanta at Minnesota. It just concerns me that they're on the road here in this one and trying to get it together. It is interesting that a year ago when Quinn shook up the coaching staff and fired Marquon Manuel as the defensive coordinator, he promoted Raheem Morris to the defensive coordinator and they beat the Saints outright as like an 8 or 9 point underdog a year ago. That's last year. This is this year. I'm iffy on Atlanta. I got to see something at Minnesota. Minnesota angry after Russell Wilson came back and beat them on Sunday Night Football with the last second heroics again in Seattle. Minnesota back at home. I'm going to stay away from the game, but it will be very interesting to see if the Falcons, your Falcons, Brian, respond to Raheem Morris in a different voice this week.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I want to thank Thomas Dimitroff. A lot of people forget that the Falcons had never, ever once had back-to-back winning seasons when he took over right after the Michael Vick, losing Michael Vick, and the city was just so crushed by it. I lived there back then, and we made the playoffs the first year under Matt Ryan as a rookie and had a lot of success and had many back-to-back winning seasons, but he's had a few bad drafts, and the defense has just not gotten better, and it was just time to blow it all up. And I'll take it a step further. I'm not against keeping Matt Ryan and Julio Jones around. But if another quarterback goes down and there's interest in Matt Ryan, maybe even Shanahan and the 49ers with him and Matt Ryan's history.
Ooh.
He understands Jimmy. But right now, though, San Fran is, what, 2-3 and behind the Rams and the Seahawks? Would they want to give a first-round pick away? So I'm saying I'm not against keeping Julio and Matt, but if Matty and or Julio can get us a first-round pick before the trade deadline, I mean, I'm all for it. Let's start over from scratch. I mean, ground zero, new regime, new everything. And look, we might be in the hunt for Trevor Lawrence if we keep losing.
Well, and I was going to say there are several teams that might be in the hunt. And, of course, Lawrence would be a regional draw if that's the case. Matt Ryan's contract is backloaded, and it's going to make him almost impossible to trade without reworking it. And Julio Jones, by the way, has a massive contract. Dimitroff kept giving him more money and more money. They basically have about 40% of their salary cap taken up by those two guys right now, Brian. So it's not good. They've got some issues. We'll see what the Falcons can do on the field. Go ahead.
But if a legit contender like the Ravens and a Lamar Jackson goes down with a season-ender, or a Big Ben Roethlisberger goes down with a season-ending injury, I don't know how it would work necessarily, the cap space or whatever, but, I mean, if you're in a bind, you got a team you think you can win a Super Bowl and your quarterback's gone and you can go get Matt Ryan, I mean, you never know. I guess it could be complicated.
You make a great point about San Francisco, because that's the Shanahan connection. And even though, as crazy as it sounds on the surface, that Garoppolo helped them get to the Super Bowl a year ago, remember, he was out for the year, torn ACL the previous year. He's been injured at the beginning of this year. I don't know that they are married to him long-term, especially if they put him on the bench Sunday, second half against Miami, they put him on the bench. If he were to struggle in this week's game with the Rams, the cries again in San Francisco are going to be, we need another quarterback. So maybe, well, let's see. Let's keep an eye on that situation. You bring up a good point, and what kind of cap flexibility does San Francisco have, even if they were to try to entertain a move like that? We'll wait and see. All right, so you've perused the slate of games for this week. Again, no Thursday night game because the Kansas City-Buffalo game was moved to next Monday because of all of the delays with the Tennessee Titans, et cetera, et cetera. It was unfair to the Bills and the Chiefs to have to wait around to figure out when they were playing. So they're now playing on Monday. No Thursday night game. So you've looked up and down the slate, and you don't have an underdog that really jumps out at you right now, Brian Edwards, correct?
Well, Cincinnati's offensive line really pissed me off the other day, so I just don't know that I'm going to go back to them. But I might. The week is early. My Joe Burrow love affair is not going to die.
You still have that love affair. And last week, if you had not taken Burrow, if you had gone the other way with the Ravens, who just squashed them, you'd have had a 4-1 Sunday. Your only loss, I think, would have been the under-over total on the Rams and the Redskins, or the former Redskins, the Washington football team. Other than that, you were in great shape. You have this fixation on Burrow, and you don't realize he plays for Cincinnati.
It's a winning fixation. I had won 7 in a row with him. Remember, I got a good line in week 1, +3.5, and they lost by 3 to the Chargers. They'd covered in the last 3, so I was 4-0 backing him and the Bengals this year. And then I had him against Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson last year. So I'm 7-1 backing my man Burrow the last 8 times I've done stuff.
Cincinnati at Indianapolis, early game Sunday. That is the Colts favored by 7.5 or 8, depending on where you get it. And again, the Colts fell apart last week behind the Rivers interceptions. Baker Mayfield looking fantastic for the Cleveland Browns. They stay against the AFC North playing the Bengals this week. I could be accused of being a homer. Buccaneers off of the long 10 days after losing to the Bears, like you mentioned, now playing Green Bay at home. Green Bay also off last week. Buccaneers a 2-point or 1.5-point underdog at home. That one is very tantalizing, but because I could be accused of being biased or a homer, I'll stay away from that one for Three Dog Thursday purposes. I'll go to the Monday night game. I am looking, there's two of them actually. I am looking at Arizona, Dallas, and the Cowboys getting 2.5 at home with Andy Dalton at quarterback. I don't know that Arizona should be a road favorite against anybody other than the Jets, like they were last week. The Jets are awful. And Arizona already with a loss at home to the Lions as well. I think this is Dalton game managing, handing it to Ezekiel Elliott. I know Kyler Murray is dangerous. The Dallas defense giving up points, but I will take as my lone NFL doggy here, I will take the Dallas Cowboys. I like them on Monday night in this spot here against the Arizona Cardinals. Real quick, Brian.
And this is, you rarely have to play three straight weeks on the road, but that's exactly what Arizona is having to do here, a third consecutive road assignment. So that is not a good spot.
Okay, so again, the Cardinals come in there as the underdog. The Sunday night game, by the way, is that Rams-San Francisco game where the 49ers at 2-3 only have the two wins over the two awful New York teams, the Jets and the Giants, and they have now lost at home in back-to-back games with the Eagles and the Miami Dolphins. That was one of the upsets of the year, Miami just pummeling them last week with Fitzmagic and company. So let's see if they rebound or not. Most of the country will get the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game with Aaron Rodgers and company. And I know, again, we focus on underdogs on Three Dog Thursday. You've got several interesting NFL plays that you're going to be unfolding. Let's segue right in on BrianEdwardsSports.com and on MajorWager.com. You've got some interesting NFL plays that you'll be getting to, and the fans need to be locked in there to keep track on what they are, even if they're not underdogs, right?
Yeah, no doubt, and the Steelers could be one. So please check them out. I'll have pick. You know, like to wait till Friday. A lot of times with NFL, just to get the latest injury updates. And I said Kansas City is, look, if Cam plays 2 weeks ago, nobody can tell me any different. New England would have won that game, and then Kansas City just lost to Las Vegas. So. KC's kind of struggling a little bit as they go to Orchard Park as a 3.5-point favorite. I guess if there was one dog I had to pick on the board, that might be it. But I'm not saying it's definitely going to be one of my plays. But
that's a doubleheader situation. That will be at 5 Eastern time on Monday, Kansas City at Buffalo, followed by the Arizona-Dallas game coming later on. Very interesting for the Chiefs. You're right. They are still smarting. They were a 10-point favorite or whatever they were, 9 or 10-point favorite against the Raiders. And the Raiders intercepted Mahomes, and Kansas City's defense got sauteed by Derek Carr and John Gruden's game plan there in that one. So let's see what happens there. Very interesting with the NFL. Again, Brian, tell them more, whether it's college, whether it's the NFL, they can get all of it at BrianEdwardsSports.com. Tell them more about how they find all of your stuff.
Yeah, and I've got my videos on the Major Wager YouTube channel, rewinding this past week's NFL and college action. You can go to the Major Wager YouTube channel or just go on to MajorWager.com, and the video is right there front and center on the homepage. You can follow me on Twitter at Vegas, B. Edwards. Also recorded your old friend K-Raj and I did an SEC recording that's on Vegas Insider's YouTube page. And look for my picks on BrianEdwardsSports.com. Enjoyed it as always, TJ. Good luck to you and your listeners with your wagers this weekend. Y'all have a great weekend.
And there he goes. My thanks again one final time to Brian Edwards talking NFL football. Again, as we end things up here, we've put the entire show together. Brian and I did not know about the Florida Gator game being deleted off the schedule, possibly to be rescheduled on December the 12th with LSU because of the Gators' outbreak of COVID-19 tests. So that game will not be played this weekend. Alabama and Georgia, again, at the time that we're posting Three Dog Thursday, we believe that game will be played. Who knows, though, if the Alabama players have an outbreak or the rest of the coaching staff or something. Don't know. We'll remain optimistic that that game comes off. Huge game Saturday night. Alabama, Georgia, number 2 against number 3. We do know, as it stands right now, no Nick Saban. Can't be around the team for the next 10 days after his Wednesday afternoon COVID-19 positive test. Looks like Steve Sarkisian is the coach. All things on track right now to play it. You may know differently as Thursday turns to Thursday afternoon, turns to Friday, turns to Saturday. That's the best we can do with putting the podcast out right now. Here is part of Three Dog Thursday. Good luck with all of the underdogs to our prognosticators for Brian Edwards. And also for our roundtable with Ryan Fowler, Marquise Johns, go find the YouTube video roundtable, Three Dog Thursday YouTube page. You can see the roundtable, see what I look like, see what Ryan looks like, and Marquise Johns as we kicked it around on the roundtable. That'll do it, though, here for the show. Good luck with all of the underdogs for Brian and Ryan and Marquise. I am merely TJ, and whether you found us through sportsgamblingpodcast.com, through their network fleet of shows, and their through their feed, we thank you for finding us there. Subscribe. Subscribe to Three Dog Thursday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Go and subscribe. The show comes automatically to you. We're done for now. Good luck with the underdog selections. And let's see what happens this weekend, our third weekend in October, as we get rolling here as part of Three Dog Thursday. Bye.